Morning. If you could find your seat, it's always a good sign of a healthy church that we have to tell people to sit down after having a chat, which is great. Welcome. Great to have you in the room this morning, as well as those online joining with us online. Thank you for being in church this morning. If you're new to this space, welcome. If you've been here for many, many years, great to see you again. And if you're just floating through and you're not sure why you're here, that's great too. We're really pleased you're here with us. As John has said, start of school, my house is a little bit different in that I've got a wife who is a kindy teacher. So she's in that space of, all the other parents are like, great, let's go. She's a bit like, hold on. It's all good. It's good. All good. So Wisdom on Shuffle. Wisdom of Solomon is what we've been talking about through January. So if you haven't been along the ride with us, here at Merriwa, Ryan started off the month with putting God in the right place, the fear of the Lord, in reverence. How good was Mon talking about kids and starting off in the way they should go? That was a great message from Mon. Michelle last week was talking about walking in wisdom out of Proverbs 10. Which is, it's been a great month. So John briefly spoke a little bit about me. I'm going to be talking about trust this morning. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But a little bit about myself. You're going to be listening to me for a little bit, so it's only fair that you have a little bit of understanding of who I am. I do hang a bit more at Mullaloo than here, although I'm probably up here during the week when you're not here, two or three times, having coffee, having meetings. So I'm here regularly. In this space. So my engagement with Trinor has been many, many years, connections with the church. However, as a family, worshipping here for the last 3.5 as part of the tribe of True North, I mentioned my wife. I'm certainly punching above my weight, as most of us fellas in this room are, Claire. And my two youth children, Emily is 16. Thank you, dads. I know you're with me, 16-year-old daughter. She's an amazing young lady, by the way. Amazing. Young fellas, stay away. And Harrison, my other child, he's 14. He's at the front row here, hanging with his mate Levi. So there's a couple of my stats as Scott. That's my family. My background is more on facility. So I was part of Warwick Stadium. I'm not sure about the famousness, John, around the traps. But I've been 24 years full time, and stepped out of that last year. So quite a shift for me over the last 12 months that I've loved being part of that community, and still coach basketball, still coach these boys down the front. And we have a lot of fun. So a little bit about me. Let's get back into the word, shall we? Proverbs. Wisdom to trust is this morning what we're going to be talking about. The verse, and this is for me as we're looking at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. These verses are a bit of life verses for me. I remember as a young guy referring to these verses and always thinking, okay, God, I need to trust in you. I acknowledge you and you're going to direct my paths. What does my path look like? Trust is the big one. And when I speak this morning, as I shared just a bit briefly then, I feel this is a bit more like a group session. This is where we're sitting around. You see them in the movies. I'm the one sharing. It's my turn to share. Hi, my name's Scott. I'm someone who needs to trust. And you guys along the ride, okay? I'm sharing a little bit really about what's happening for my journey. So this is speaking out of me. I'm sharing from me. I'm on this journey myself. So please don't feel as though I'm telling you something. I'm walking this myself. Let's keep that lens rolling through this sermon. And this is intended to be a word of encouragement. This isn't intended to be, hey, we need to go. This is an encouraging thing. I hope you hear it that way. So wisdom to trust. Let's read Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. I've been brought up with the New King James. And so a couple of words in there as I say them is, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. That's another way of reading that as well. The Message says it like this. I love flicking through and seeing how these words are crafted and to help us explain God's love message for us here. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. See what I mean when I said I'm working this myself? Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amazing, amazing words of wisdom. In the midst of a passage about wisdom in Proverbs, which actually links it to well-being. In the verses before and after, it talks about it being, you know, having this wisdom being great for your bones, great for your health, your prosperity. You think about seeking God. So interesting to hear that and see that it's part of that well-being space. I don't know about you, but it's not always easy to trust. I'm not sure whether you find the same thing. I mean, even just reflecting this past week or so about why we maybe find it hard to trust, I get so many text messages from people saying that I need to update my details for a package that I never even ordered. I get emails about, hey, you need to update your banking details. Just log in here. I don't even bank with that bank. I think we've around us, there's this level of, you know, it's not trustworthy out there, I don't think. We could say it like that. I even hark back and think, and I hope I'm not pressing too many buttons here, but, you know, the Reserve Bank governor said, hey, interest rates aren't going to go up for a while. The next month, we're all scratching to try and cover our mortgages. Interestingly, when I look at McCrindle Research, which is a research company that's in Australia, they suggest that there's only 42% of Australians express trust or some sort of trust in the government. 31% only share some level of trust for large corporations. 31%, that's not a whole lot. Compared to 62% that would put a bit more expression of trust and value in not-for-profits or charities or local business. So more connected with community, Australians are. So at the local level, we're a bit more trustworthy, but there's this certainly a strong current of not being able to trust. And I think even that reflects on us personally. Like, I don't know about you, but it's coming out of the Christmas period or even New Year's, it's like, oh, I wasn't going to eat that. I wasn't going to eat that thing. I can't trust myself. Or I was going to go for that run and I didn't get to do it. Even in the midst of ourselves, it can be hard to trust our own self and what we say we're going to do. So this can kind of leak into all areas of our life, this issue of trust. And I think some of that's linked to the need or the want for us to have some sort of level of control. I think it's all over the world, but particularly Aussies. We're kind of like, no, I want to drive this. I want to shape what this looks like. And even if I'm not making the decision myself, I want to be able to know who's making the decision to decide how that decision's being made. I think that and leaks into the spiritual side of things. God, do you really know what's happening? You clearly don't have this under control. I need to grab this back from you. I need to roll with this because it's not the way I want it to happen. Hence, this morning, let's talk about trust. So before we go much further, I want to chat about trust versus faith. These terms are used interchangeably a lot. But before we go any further, because I'm going to use both of these terms, let's get this one down early. So faith is a belief in someone or something, and in our context, in the church space, it's God, and you know, we believe in who He is, what He's done, what He says He'll do. And then trust is an action. It's something you do. So let's lock those down. A simple example of that is when you came in and you found your seat. So when you found, this is a great spot, we stood up and we worshipped and John said, hey, okay, then we're going to sit down. You, when you lined up in front of your seat, had faith that this is going to hold me. This is great, great spot. I'm far enough out the back that I can slip out the door, or I'm close enough to the front that I can be seen. When you sat down, that's when you put the faith in action, trust. So when you went and you bent your legs and you started going down, trust was in action. When you took us on the seat there, that's when it became faith in action, okay? So trust. I've got three stories I'd love to share with you this morning about that, and then we're going to look at a passage of trust in the Bible, but and we're going to refer back to these as we go. So three stories. First of all, hard nut. So my nana, Joy, a hard nut, a hard lady, amazing woman. I love her so much. She's not with us anymore, but 10 years ago, at the age of 85, she came to know the Lord, Jesus. So when I refer to my nana, there's a few analogies that I would go with. If I said that she was a coffee order, she'd be a long black, probably with no fuss, no milk, no sugar, probably two extra shots, really, really bitter. But she probably would only go with the one extra shot because she wouldn't want to pay for the second extra shot. So that's one part of it. If she was a cheese and she loved cheese, she would be a blue vein, a really strong blue vein cheese, the type that really gets up into your nose, you know, and really feel it in your nostrils. And if I was going to compare it to a biscuit, and again, this is all said through an immense amount of love for my nana, she'd be a ginger nut, really hard, try not to break your teeth on it, need to dunk it in your cuppa. But she came to know Christ 10 years ago at 85. So this involved 30 years of prayer on the part of my dad. I remember as a young guy knowing that nana, she was a hard lady. We love her so much. But it was actually my daughter at the time, who was six, who was part of that, seeing her come to Christ, softening her heart. This young girl who would speak to her nana and say, you know, nana, God loves you. And she would draw her pictures. And she would write her letters. I remember one of the letters there, she said, give your heart to the mighty God, nana. And this 85-year-old lady was going, what is this? What is this young girl seeing me? And who is this God that loves me so much? I remember getting that call when she asked Christ into her heart and said, look, you know, she realized, she acknowledged that she wasn't right in her own ways and how she was living life, and she needed to call on God, and she did, which is an amazing story. Hanging in there, trusting in God. I've got a second one here, Mountain Mission. It's about Syria. So I'm part of a sports coalition or a movement around the world, and I get to hear these amazing stories of how sport and leisure and recreation are used to impact communities. One of the ones I clearly distinctly remember is this time in Syria, where there was this group of sports ministers who wanted to do a camp. There was young people who needed to be trained. There was encouragement to be had and happening. And they planned for a while for this growth and this outreach in Syria. This particular mountain this camp was on. And they retell the story. They said they the week of this camp, they rolled in and said, look, God's got amazing things for this. They clearly felt that it was distinctly of God that they would meet and have this camp. However, on one side of this mountain was ISIS fighting down the valley, one side of this mountain. And on the other side, they were saying, we didn't know exactly who it was, but some other militant groups were having a fight on the other side. So they're on this mountain here, this camp. They feel like they're led to do this. They were praying about it. The camp directors had a meeting, and they said, no, we're going to trust that this is what God has for us. And by faith, they kept rolling with that. And I was reflecting this week, you know, we do a lot of events as a church. And amazing, like if you've been involved in carols, what an amazing, we saw 40,000 people come to carols across three events. How amazing. I think that's worth a clap, by the way. But our mate Rod O'Donnell, who's our safety guy at the church, and he does an amazing job. We do everything right and proper here at True North. Can you imagine Rod looking at that going, as a safety, hang on, there's fighting here, there's fighting there. Yeah, let's go ahead with that camp. I don't think he would. It was an amazing story about how they've persevered and they've continued on with this camp. I'll come back to that again a little bit later, as I said. Third story, quickly, troubled one. Some friends that I went and visited in the States, I was over there for a meeting, dropped in for a couple of days. And unfortunately, this couple, they're in the 60s, dearly love them. They had a daughter who had struggled with alcoholism and bad relationships, not a great situation at all. When I was picked up from the airport and, you know, the hugs were there and it's so good to see you, there was a sense for me that there was a little bit of a heavy environment. something wasn't quite right, and there was something that was going to be shared with me, and this was about their daughter. So they were on calls and Zoom calls, trying to get her into different facilities and support her. What's the support of insurance, health insurance? And a bit of a sense of like, how much longer can we do this? Can we keep doing this? She's in her 40s. She had two kids. As I was there, she had taken some pills. She needed to go to the hospital. Terrible situation. Dark situation. Tough situation. But in amongst all of that, there was a sense of, God, we don't know what this is. Why are we here? What are we doing here, Lord? We need to trust in you. Praying constantly for their daughter. She managed to get into a facility. And then a couple of weeks later, when I came back to Australia, I'd heard that their granddaughter, which is this lady's daughter, had a stroke. And she's since recovered, but she lost part of half of her body and movement. She loved riding horses. But she's since been able to ride a horse, thankfully, thank the Lord. But in the midst of that, so much happening, feeling like battered to and fro, on all sides, but still saying, God, what have you got for us in this? How do we trust you? How do we keep stepping forward in this space? So each one of these stories are very real stories. They need to trust, have faith, perseverance in the Lord. It's hard to not want to take control of these, right? As I said before. How about our story as a church? It's a bit of our story. On our website, we have this. We talk about it. It was on the screens before. We're a tribe of generous and courageous people on a journey to live by love. Trust takes courage. And if we were to live by love and to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, as we've done a lot through this past year on, requires trust and faith in him. And we've got a story as a church of many, many individuals, all the different journeys and stories, and a group the size of this, there's so many different paths and journeys that we're on, right? So how do we as a church, there's a story there for us to being generous and courageous and trusting. It takes all of us to be on this path together. A biblical account of trust and faith that I want to link into, I think some principles for us to pull out of, think through and walk away with today is a story of the Israelites as they go into Jericho. It's a story that captures me and many other stories in the Bible on trust and faith. But the amazing thing of the background there with this is Joshua bringing the people out of Egypt. So Moses brought them out of Egypt. A bit of background. So Moses, you know, amazingly, there's all these miracles and plagues, and they get to the Red Sea, and Moses takes them through. The Egyptians are swallowed up behind them. Unfortunately, Israelites. The original plan was they walk straight into the promised land that God had for them. He said that I'm delivering it for you. And they messed up, as we as humans do often. There was involved in a golden calf. There was, you know, worshipping things that they weren't meant to do. And then God said, right, okay, you lot are walking around for 40 years. You learn your lesson. You could have walked straight in, but they didn't. So that set a course for 40 years. The disobedient generation, then they all died out. There's an opportunity then for this new generation to conquer this land that was promised to them. So Joshua takes over from Moses. He's a bit more of a military type leader. He goes, all right, okay, we're going to do this. God's given us this land and leads them miraculously again across the Jordan River, then towards Jericho. And in Deuteronomy 9 verses 1 to 3, it says here, this is Moses letting Israel know, hey, Israel. Hear Israel, sorry, he probably did say, hey Israel, if he was up to speed with the lingo. Hear Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, the Anakites. He talks a bit more about them in that verse. But in verse 3, it says, but be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you. You can imagine this group that have got a bit more of a military leader now. They've been rolling around for 40 years. The generation's gone on. They're like, great, here we go. Let's get the 40 years behind us. Let's step on and into this new space that God's paved the way for us. They cross the Jordan. They're like, let's take this. The first thing that they come up against is Jericho. This is a place that has, if we've got some image on the screen here, that was they talked about being an impregnable city. It had the inner and upper walls, over 9 meters high, 3.5 meters wide. They built this embankment down to a second set of walls as well, which is, 2 meters wide, about, 7 meters high. So the first thing, trust. I've given you this, and straight away we've got a test. Okay? Walk straight into it. Just like the real life stories I mentioned, this is very real as well. There's excavations been done. There's amazing detail of how this city was set up to be able to withstand a siege. It had a natural spring inside it. They'd just done the harvest. They've even found jars of grain that were burnt and still sealed up. They weren't even opened. They were flush with food, they could have stay there probably for a couple of years, some people say. So imagine coming up against this and going, God, you said you'd given us this land and we've come straight up first thing against Jericho. Let's have a look at what it says in Joshua 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Interesting. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. And they got up, it says there, and they did the same for 6 days. So hang on. Back in Deuteronomy, Moses said, you're going to dispossess the land. You're going to devour all in front of you. Like these guys are going, here we go. Let's take this. And when push comes to shove, they're standing in front of Jericho. Okay, guys, the mighty men of Israel, strapped with your swords on your side and ready to roll. Don't say anything. Don't say a word. Excuse me, Joshua? What do we say back in Proverbs? Don't lean on your own understanding. So God's got, clearly he said that Joshua's been commanded from the Lord. He heard from the Lord. This doesn't make sense. We're rolling around, hang on, the priests are coming on the battlefield. And we've got to put up with this infernal trumpet blowing the whole time. But we can't say anything. It would be, I think, really interesting to get inside the mind of an Israeli military person or a soldier at this time to go, what is he thinking? I mean, isn't this guy a military leader? You know, maybe we should have tried to carry Moses across the Jordan with us. I don't know what Joshua's up about. And even as a soldier walking around, I don't know my mind starts to wander a bit, and you kind of go, what would it look like to walk around day one? The people in Jericho going, what are they doing? They're just getting inside our heads. They're walking around the city. Are they just trying to get us all up and about? This is mental warfare. What are they doing? And when it comes day 2, they're doing it again. Day 3, they're probably like, do these guys even know how to fight? you know, as a soldier, you probably almost want to see, just even if I could see a pebble rolling off the side of the walls, that would give me some sort of hope. But this is not what you would expect to come up against. We have massive high walls and we're walking around blowing trumpets. They had to trust. Israel had to trust. The soldiers had to trust. Clearly, this was a daily decision. And just like for us too, it's a daily decision to be made about whether we trust. I wonder whether on day three or day four, how long do you think that you would last? If it was you, if you're walking around, you come back to your tent to face your wife as a military soldier and go, "So, honey, how was the day? What did you get up to? How much further are we into taking Jericho?" I wasn't allowed to say anything today. What? I didn't get my sword out. In fact, I just walked. I had to follow the priests around. Did they even let you blow the trumpet? No. I had to be quiet. I couldn't do anything. Do you think you'd go 6 days? You get around six. This is the sixth day, really? I'm going to do this again. And tomorrow we've got to do it seven times. I've walked this. That rock there hasn't moved. Are we going to hang in here and do this? Isn't this time to back out? The walls are too high. They've got a spring in there. What are we doing walking around here? Your issues, my issues, our problems, our journeys, they can look too hard. They can look too high. Can't see a way through. In Deuteronomy, it said a city great with walls up to the sky. We have things in front of us that just seem insurmountable. But God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. So God has already given the ability and victory through faith to carry on. It's delivered into our hands. That's what he said in Deuteronomy. If we can use this analogy, it would be easy to stop at six. Nah, I'm done. I've got a whole day tomorrow of walking it seven times. I'm out. No, the Israelites here in, let's have a look at what they do here in verse 15 to 16 and 20. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. This doesn't make sense, right? It's not just me. They rolled around seven times and shouted, walls come down, they walk straight up. I wonder even if the soldiers knew, what's going to happen when we shout? Like, do we all go follow behind Jerry or Frank? But it went down straight up. They had to have faith. They had to walk day seven. They had to walk it. They had to do it seven times on the seventh day for it to see God work. They had to trust that he was going to do what he said he would do. It was that action part. It's one thing believing. It's the other thing actioning your faith. In Hebrews 11:30, this is the Hall of Fame chapter. There's accounts of amazing faith that are recorded there. This is recorded there, Hebrews 30, 11 verse 30. This is not the shout that reverberated and brought the walls down. It says here, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. After the army had marched around them for 7 days, by faith. They had to walk 7 days. They couldn't chop out at six. They needed to walk the 7 days, show their faith in action, and they had the victory. So as I reflect on this, I think with our faith in action, are we flagging? Are we lagging? Are we questioning, maybe even giving up after a few trips around Jericho, if I can use that analogy, with refer it to our own journeys and my journey? Questioning, feeling silly. Is this what God's got for me? What's next, God? What are you doing, God? We need wisdom. We need wisdom to trust, not to lean on our own understanding. And I wonder what you're needing to trust God for. Is there something God has asked you to do? you feel, actually, you know, actually, I really feel God wants me to do this. Are you ready to throw it in? We don't know what part of the journey we're on, and I'm often thankful that we don't. I imagine knowing it all, like, I've got to go through that. But God gives us just enough. No, I need you to trust. And I need you to trust. Walk day two. Okay, we're on day three. We need to trust. We don't stop at six. We need to continue and keep going. We need to persevere to see the victory. We need to walk day seven. So faith in action. You're prompted to think, when we reflect back on the three stories I shared before, you're prompted to think of a friend or a loved one who you've been praying for maybe for 30 years, maybe less, that maybe they don't know. They need to know, but they don't know Christ. They don't know the love of Jesus. Keep praying. Keep trusting. I didn't realize it would take me meeting my wife, who's from England, to get married and to meet her when we're teenagers, to then have a baby daughter who would then be the catalyst and influence on my nana to then come to know him. I didn't know that was what the path was going to look like, but we stepped along that. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Don't stop at six. About yourself. You've all got cards there that on your seat inviting you to Alpha. That's something you can invite someone to. Talk about faith, talk about life, talk about meaning. Just next week, this coming week, there's an opportunity to invite someone or to go yourself. How does that deepen your faith? What do you need to explore through that? Are you considering baptism? Maybe I need to take that next step in my spiritual journey. Are you wanting to know more? That's a opportunity next week to action that faith. How about furthering mission? We think about my friends in Syria. How are you part of this tribe? How are you serving being part of this tribe here in True North? What does that look like for you? The guys, when they were looking on the mountain, do we do this training session? They didn't balk at it. They stepped into it. There's plenty happening either side of them to stop that happening. But they kept stepping forward. What's your part in the greater mission? As the team makes their way up, well, how about identifying with my friends and their daughter? There's a tough, dark, personal struggle. That could be health related. Could be a friend of yours that's going through a tough battle. In these spaces, the stakes are so high. How about a habit or you're feeling alone? How's your heart, soul, mind and strength? How are you reflecting on that? We live in a broken world, broken people. Only God can bring true healing, really, can't he? We need to trust in that. What does it look like for you to trust in the Lord, not lean on your own understanding? We can't stop at six. We need to keep walking. As a church, we're talking about being generous and courageous, tribe that lives by love. That, as I said before, is made up of individuals walking that path to collectively be a tribe. It takes all of us to do that. And I wonder, as a church, as a community, what walls are in front of us? The walls right up high to the sky. I think last week, I know Pastor Ryan and the crew were at Yanchep again. It's the starting of a new journey at Yanchep, a new gathering at Yanchep. There's already been obstacles in the way, but by prayer and faith, activating that faith in trust, come Easter, there's a new campus that's being planted in Yanchep. We need to be praying for that. We need to be still walking that. We don't want to stop at six. And then there's the amazing role model, the amazing way that this has been lived out and we've been privileged to be in the front row seat of is of our leadership here at True North. The journey of Dean and Lisa, and if you were here, imagine, or you've heard Lisa's story online, they are needing to trust day by day. We don't know what that looks like. Where are you taking us, God? But we've got that right in front of us about an example of trusting and walking and continuing to walk in God. So wherever you are at, and again, from right away across this auditorium, there are so many different stories. You're on a different journey than I am. We need to take Solomon's advice, wisdom out of Proverbs. Trust God. Lean not on our own understanding. As we acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths. We need to keep walking that path. He has the divine understanding. He loves you. We need to have wisdom to trust in Him. Why don't you stand up and I'll pray for us, and we'll lead into a song. There's an opportunity for you to use this as a prayer, as a commitment. Say, God, I need to trust you. I'm somewhere on this journey. I need to keep going. Lord, can I trust you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be gathered today, whether it's here in person, whether it's online, wherever the journey is taking us, Lord, we want to trust you. Lord, I pray that we would apply this wisdom from Solomon out of Proverbs to trust you. Keep walking, Lord. I pray in our lives that we would commit to that. And I pray for me personally and my family, Lord, but I pray as a tribe, as a courageous, generous group of people, Lord, that you would help us to live that out and live by love. Lord, thank you that we can trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen.